going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Not since Babe Ruth has man called his shot in that style, Mr. David.
Good morning, Molly. Happy Friday.
Congratulations.
Bears got their guy. Very good pick. I believe it was a smart pick given the way the board fell to the Bears. Colston Loveland may seem like a duplicate part to a lot of people. They've got to find tight end in Cole Kmet. But I just think that Ben Johnson looked at this young man out of Michigan. He saw a lot of similarities to the guy that he coached and called plays for last year in Detroit in Sam Laporta. And the Bears made their move, got their guy, and stamped this draft as the Ben Johnson draft.
Yeah, this is definitely a Ben Johnson draft. We know that the offense that he ran in Detroit was the best in the NFL, and we know that part of that was him using the two tight ends set, the two tight ends, I believe it was third most in the entire NFL.
Only two other teams did it more.
Yeah, and so now you got a couple tight ends, so you can check that portion of the program. You feel good about that. I was a little surprised that all the offensive tackles went off the board.
There was a run on them. It happens every year. There's a position that goes like that.
I felt nothing but relief, Mr. David, because I had seen too many things online and heard too many people talking about the Bears moving up, trading up to get Ashton Jeanty. And I was kind of like, oh, you know, don't do that. Hey, you know, do this and do that, but don't do that. I just didn't want them. I feel the strength of the draft for the Bears is coming. I think that they got a really good player who's going to start for many a year and is going to be a real weapon for Ben Johnson, as mentioned earlier. But these two second-round picks and the third-round pick, these you need starter-quality players out of all these picks.
That's why evaluating the Bears draft after the first round is understandable and it's fun to do. But it also is incomplete because they're looking at this as a four-act play.
Yes.
And you really can't review it until the curtain closes. And that, to me, is what this draft is about, the first four picks. And I think when we heard from Ryan Poles late last night, you heard that similar sentiment expressed because he was obviously asked about the reports that were feverish and they were frenzied. And before the draft, you got this sense that maybe the Bears were going to do this just based on how prevalent the reports were from Diana Rossini. Albert Breer had some mention about the Bears moving up. And look, that's part of due diligence, I think, to make those phone calls and to see what it might take and to consider it and talk about it. But I think Ryan Poles is looking at this draft the way that he needs to, and that is to replenish his roster, maybe find a toy or two along the way, like he did last night, and get three starters of those first four picks. And that's the way he was looking at it, and I think that's what we have to expect, again, returning to action tonight when they have two more picks in the second round.
Yeah, it's good. I like what they're doing. I like the team they're building. I think there's still some really good players on the board. I can't believe that the cornerback out of Michigan is still available.
Tells you a little bit about the medicals. Yes. We talked about that with Abdul Carter. You wondered about other players in the first round.
Yes.
Will Johnson dropping out of the first round, given his skill set.
Yeah.
Had he been healthy, he's a top 10 pick. He clearly isn't healthy.
Right. And I think, David, that the one that seems to have captured everyone's attention is this storyline that's ongoing with Shedeur Sanders. Mm-hmm. And I know we're not in the quarterback evaluation business this year out of the draft, but that is it's interesting that he is now available, that a team like Cleveland that traded down and got a really good player out of Michigan might be able to take a quarterback. You know, they're still trying to figure out what to do.
All's forgiven in Cleveland.
Well, I know
the Sanders probably hold a grudge against every team that passed on Shedeur in the first round.
Yeah, but I mean,
you can't let that bother you.
I think. Would you call him? Would you, if you were a general manager, would you have placed a phone call into him just see what his mentality's like? Let me ask him.
Yes.
Is it possible that he's not going to be the third quarterback taken?
Well, if it is, then that's a shame because I don't think they're making a fair assessment. I believe that Shedeur Sanders does have some limitations, but I also think every quarterback that's drafted does. And last night, to me, it was a surprise that he dropped out of the first round, but I don't think there were all football reasons for that to happen.
Milroe is a guy that people like quite a bit.
Well, he's got great intangibles.
Incredible skill set. Not a thrower.
And skill set, he's unpolished, though. I think he's a little bit raw.
Right.
You know, Shedeur Sanders is pretty polished. He's an accurate thrower. If his name were Joe Smith, he'd have gone last night.
That's what the Sanders said.
Is that what he said?
But the family has been saying that.
I believe that though, don't you?
I don't know.
I think if
he was a really good player, he'd go on last night possibly. No matter what. I think the position may be changing a little bit in the league.
Maybe so. But I do also think that if you say that, it's harder for me to agree when you see what the Giants did at the end of the first round. It's not like Jackson Dart is a modern version of the NFL quarterback you described. Jackson Dart is more traditional in his skill set and more similar to Shedeur Sanders. He also doesn't bring all of that baggage to New York with the Giants. That room is crowded enough with Jameis Winston and Russ Wilson. So now you've got Jackson Dart, who quietly will sit in the back and learn. If you bring in Shedeur Sanders, you bring in a show. And I don't think that's overstating it, but I'm not also sure that's fair to Shedeur Sanders. And here's the other thing, Molly, and we'll talk about this, and I don't want to be a hypocrite. I hate coming out of a draft and talking about what didn't happen.
Oh, no. I mean...
And not you, but like this is a story nationally.
This has been talked about every day, which I find it kind of insane.
But then it didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
So now we're talking about and focused on things, and they will be all day they will nationally. What didn't happen? Who didn't go?
You keep neglecting to mention the kid from Jersey, you know, the Illinois quarterback.
Tommy DeVito.
Isn't that the real story? Yeah.
Is that the real story?
No.
Ask his agent. I'm sure he'll be making the rounds. He's on the Today Show at 7:15. Probably. Don't forget about us.
Yeah, that's so classic.
Yeah, but that's going to be a fascinating subplot to tonight. I would be shocked if he goes more than 10 picks into the second round without getting a call. And then, with the Bears having 39 and 41, good. Get Shedeur Sanders to somebody.
Yeah.
Draft another quarterback.
That'd be good. Yeah.
Because there's some good players still out there available for the Bears.
No doubt about it.
And if you look at these guys tonight as potential starters, contributors from week one on, then they're going to be some good players that they can add to the mix.
Yeah. Who's the next tackle off the board? The kid from Minnesota. I don't know if that's still too early for him, but it's not too early to take a tackle if you need a tackle.
Well, not when you have passed on the tackles. Now, going back to the Bears' mindset and going back to the Bears' approach, I did wonder, as the pick started to come off the board, I did wonder if at 9, that was where I was most surprised. Kelvin Banks Jr. going to the Saints, coming off the board as the third tackle taken.
Yeah.
They're always a run at one position. Often it might be a pass rusher. Sometimes it's a quarterback. But Kelvin Banks Jr. becoming the third offensive tackle at 9, to me, I think, gave the Bears and pushed the Bears in that direction.
Oh, no question about it.
I do wonder what they might have done if the Saints had gone to another direction.
They may well have gone in the same direction. They may well have been down that road. But I think clearly the Saints believed that they were going to go in that direction. You know what I mean?
Right.
They took a guy who was the third one before the Bears could get him. I really believe that they were aware that the Bears were in the market for a tackle and probably, you know, it helped them make that selection for them. I don't know that it was the right pick for New Orleans. Time will tell on all these things, but I'm with you. The very fact that, okay, the tackles are cleaned out. Now who do you take? Well, here we go. Let's go with the unicorn.
And Molly, I don't think that when you talk about offensive tackles, if there are there are a lot of good players still left on the board. The tackle you're referencing is the Minnesota kid.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Ursary.
Yes. Yeah.
Ariante Ursary, yes. Who didn't start playing, I think, football until high school. He was a basketball player. But you look at his tape, and we were talking about this the other day with Clay Harbor, who's going to join us again today to talk about the tight end selection.
Oh, good.
Ursary blocked Abdul Carter and held his own. He was very good. He's got good tape. And I just wonder if he's a guy that you look at with either 39 or 41, if he's still on the board, if the Bears address a position that they went into this draft fixated on.
Yeah, I think that is – if they come out with him, if they – I think they need a running back too, just looking at what they want to do and the way that they've now gotten themselves the tight end and they can run the two tight end set. Well, that they probably need a more explosive running back than the one that they currently have. And I would love to see him grab one of the Ohio State guys. I think that
Trayvon Henderson. Yeah,
would
I think
be
that's the one. If he's there.
Player. Yeah. If he's there.
Yeah.
The kid from Iowa is still
Caleb
there.
Caleb Johnson, that may be a little high, 41.
But there's still a couple of them. I'm just saying, they'll be. You know, maybe you want to get a Cam Scadaboo in the third round. That's how you roll. But I was saying, I think we kind of know the positions. We kind of know players that are available at those positions.
What I like about the Bears pick is that, to me, it reflects, again, a common sense approach to a decision and to a draft and just to putting your football team together, building your offense. Ben Johnson knows how to scheme a guy like Loveland open. He did it with Sam Laporta.
Yes.
Colston Loveland lined up in the slot 48% of the time at Michigan. He's somebody clearly is a wide receiver in a tight end body.
Yep.
And when you have that combination, you have a lot of options schematically, and I think this is consistent with the Bears' entire offseason approach.
Bears have only ever drafted 3 tight ends in the first round. I don't think this kid's Mike Ditka, although they both were number 10 overall picks. You may see a little bit of the other guy, though.
Greg Olsen?
This could be kind of, he's got
That's the cop I made yesterday, and I think you're right.
Yes.
But, you know, you remember Greg Olsen, and we'll talk to Olin tomorrow during our draft show, 9 to 12.
Right.
Remember, I think Olsen tells a funny story about Greg Olsen not blocking at the goal line during a game against the Saints, perhaps, if I remember correctly. He wasn't known for his blocking. He wasn't drafted to get in the way of defensive tackles. You know what he was drafted for? Get open. And I think Colston Loveland knows how to get open. You're not going to ask him to do much blocking, theoretically.
Theoretically, he's a better blocker than Greg was. I'm just saying.
Be, yeah.
I'm not taking a knock. I'm just saying I think he's got a big body. He's a cowboy. Did you see that stuff?
Oh, did you see
the rodeo?
Did you see him in his living room? The elks on the wall.
Holy cow!
Oh my gosh! Somebody, the taxidermy involved here.
I think somebody in on the ABC broadcast.
Yeah.
Said, well, you don't have to wonder what that family does as a hobby.
Who said that?
So whoever was on the ABC broadcast, I just chuckled.
There were 3 elk heads, I believe, the wall.
Boy, they do
on the
some
walls
shooting.
Of the Loveland living room or man cave.
This is the kid who would get up at 6 in the morning, go milk the cows, go to school,
go build the fence,
come home, have a nap, and play football. I mean,
you gotta love it. And
have you ever been to the rodeo, David?
I have not been. I have been to the rodeo after the rodeo for a story, but I've never really participated in the rodeo. No,
I have been to a rodeo, yeah. Which was an unbelievable life experience.
Was it your first rodeo?
It was my first rodeo. Now I've been to my first rodeo. This is no longer my first rodeo, but I got to tell you, the thing that stood out to me was how many people get hurt badly in the rodeo.
Yeah.
Mother of God, that is, you got to be hard as nails to get through a rodeo season.
If the animals were damaged to that extent, you'd have PETA all over them.
I got to tell you, yes. There's no doubt about it. There's like an ambulance at the rodeo that is in working condition and working practice because people are being ambulanced out of the rodeo.
Small town in Idaho, 3,200 people, I believe. I can relate to that. I'm looking forward to hearing how he expresses himself coming to Chicago. And we all know that this is not necessarily the first time the Bears have taken somebody out of Idaho in the first round. Good old Shea McClellan from Chicken Dinner Road.
That's right.
Remember that story? That
please don't put their two names in the same sentence.
I'm just saying. Please
do I remember that story?
It's 2012. It wasn't that long ago. Shea McClellan came from Idaho. Well, it's a fact.
Yeah, didn't
check
it?
Me.
That's about all I want to remember about him.
Yeah, that was
disgracing a couple of Bears numbers in the
oh
time
boy.
Here.
Yeah, they gave him every retired number known to man. Oh my God.
This was a smarter pick. This is going to be a better pick. This is going to be the pick that I think gives Ben Johnson what he needs in this offense, and that is a second tight end to complement Cole Kmet. And I think it will be more Cole Kmet complementing Colston Loveland. I can't wait to hear how Cole Kmet takes the news. You'll know we'll hear from him, by noon? There'll be a microphone nearby somewhere. He will speak into it and tell us what he thinks.
Two things stood out to me about my trip to the rodeo. Was the first was that they said a prayer before it began, and the guy that was running the rodeo, he screamed at the top of his lungs, "They can take the prayer out of our schools, but they'll never take it out of the rodeo." And then they said a prayer, which was, you know, just a moment. And the second was the rodeo clown was an actual, you know, he was also like a stand-up comedian. And he got up there and he told jokes between acts. And one of his jokes was, "How do you know that diarrhea is hereditary?"
Runs in the family.
Runs in the genes.
Oh, runs in the genes. There we go.
Come on. It's the rodeo.
Long walk for a short trip.
You never
of water.
Could have told. You didn't get there, though.
Okay. Well,
I'll help you.
I know.
I'll run
I was
in your
guessing.
Genes.
All right.
It's pretty good.
Yep. We got any more rodeo tales?
That's all I got. Two little moments. There was prayer, which I just thought was wild. And then there was the bad taste joke.
Gooding, Idaho is the hometown of Colston Loveland. He's supposed to be in Chicago later today. I think the Bears plan to introduce him later this afternoon before they get back to work tonight. 6 o'clock, second round begins or resumes.
He's on the way in. Is that right?
I think that they talked last night as if that was the plan.
Oh, that's great.
I don't know if they can get it all done, but that would be protocol. They typically have you know, the first round pick in town as soon as possible. And show him the ropes, and who knows?
Maybe he knows the ropes, man. He's in the rodeo.
That's true.
It's going to be fun to see what Ben Johnson can do. And the thing that stood out to you about that particular pick was the fact that you know the guy that made it. And, you know, we had talked about having some grace and some leeway with the guy that you've really enjoyed seeing come to town. And now if he wants a tight end and he thinks that's what he needs to get the offense up and going, I think everybody gives a stamp of approval.
I'm curious how they handled it with Cole Kmet in all seriousness and wonder if they gave him a heads up, if they had that conversation with him. You know, players are back in the building as part of the offseason workouts. And Cole Kmet was a captain last year, was he not? I think he had a C on his jersey.
There were so many of them.
But he's in a leadership role, and he is certainly somebody that has earned some respect in that building, in the organization, in this town. And I'm just curious, not that he had to sign off on it, but I wonder, we see all kinds of stories, whether it's Kirk Cousins last year with Michael Penix Jr. getting drafted and the shock that he felt, going back to Mike Glennon learning at draft night party that Mitch Trubisky was going to replace him.
That's kind of what I wondered about Cole Kmet. Like, did he, like, you know, with the Bears thing?
Was he at the draft party?
Was he at any party? Well, or did he, like, lose his
He
drink?
Had to have been expecting this somewhat, because both Warren and Loveland were guys that were mocked in most top 15 in the top 15 in most mock drafts.
Right.
And this cannot have come as a huge surprise.
And as you say, I mean, you know, it's two tight ends. It's a two tight end set. You still plan on using him, but certainly Cole Kmet, all of a sudden, you look at him and you look at his salary cap number differently than you may have done before that pick was made.
In terms of receivers, in terms of weaponry, how does this make the Bears compare to the Lions, the Vikings, and the Packers, who got themselves a wide receiver of some skill and speed last night?
And it was a very popular pick. I don't know if you followed much of the broadcast. The Bears pick wasn't very popular in Green Bay, shockingly.
Yeah.
And who's your buddy from USC? Who's Dustin's guy?
Clay Matthews.
Yeah. How could he...
How do you start an NFL broadcast for the draft with that?
It's just a hayseed thing. I wouldn't get too worked up about it.
Too late.
We managed to, like, you know what you should do, Dustin, to get over it? Just walk over to the Art Institute, take a look at how beautiful that place is. Or visit one of our
many museums.
Maybe I
should take a ride back up to Green Bay.
Yeah, don't go to the Packer Hall of Fame.
That place was packed. You see how many people were gathered for that? It's crazy.
Let me ask you. You know Green Bay as well as anyone. How many of those people are sleeping in their car? I mean, they don't have enough hotels for that number of people.
Well, they're probably gridlocked. They're probably just getting out of the parking lot now. It had to be a difficult logistical nightmare.
Wow. And they got to open a new trailer park.
Yeah, Clay Matthews crossed the line. That was really uncalled for. That could not have been scripted. He just went rogue on everybody and really tainted a broadcast that otherwise was really good. And
it kicked off on such an awful way. I mean, it wouldn't have mattered. It could have been, as an example, it could have been in Dallas, and they could have done the same things with the Commanders or the Giants. I'd have felt the same way. Not as personally, right? But
what are
we doing here?
It was bad. It was amateur hour is what it was. And he had no right. That's why he could not have been on script. I'm sure that he was.
No, he said, although I don't understand why the president would want that message sent, but he said that I'm going to go off. Didn't he say like a whole, you know, I know I'm not supposed to start this way, Roger. And then everyone had a nice laugh.
Yeah, somebody should have probably, once he said that.
And then later there was
security!
A beautiful moment for Mongo and the 50th anniversary of Walter Payton being drafted. Could you believe it was 50 years ago that Walter Payton was drafted?
That's crazy.
Insane. But do we want to hear that great moment? Brandon's aching to play it. Let's hear from Dustin's best friend, new best friend.
I'm going to go off script here real quick, Roger, but I just got off the phone with the President Donald Trump. He asked me to pass a message along to all 32 NFL franchises. So let me tell you what it reads here, all right? It says, my fellow Americans, the Bears still suck!
Drunk and stupid is a bad way to go through life.
Could I just make a request?
It's really the only way to go through Green Bay, though.
5:54, that's the last time we play that audio today?
No, we're going to keep coming with it every time you mouth off.
We got to use it as a transition drop. When we mentioned Dustin, I was going to use it for the transition
drop. Still do. It's something to look forward to. Hey, Dustin, enjoy the weekend.